Blog Talk Radio.
As a parent, your child's safety is your top priority. Protect Your Children understands. That's why they provide a wide range of free online resources, including in-depth protection guidelines, zip code predator searches, video tutorials, and more to help you protect your children from predators online and off. Don't leave anything to chance. The resources you need to keep your children safe are easily available and they're free. Visit protectyourchildren.org to find the tools you need to protect your kids. That's protectyourchildren.org.
Yes, protectyourchildren.org is the website. protectyourchildren.org. Thank you for listening to the show tonight. Everybody out there, we're glad that you are here. This is the Protect Your Children radio show with your host, Christopher Gelson. I am the director and lead teacher of Protect Your Children, Inc. We want to tell you that we are on social media. Yes, we are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and now we went into the belly of the beast. Yes, we had to do it. We had to open some eyes and provide some awareness and education in the realm of TikTok. Yes. The lovely app that we rally against all the time. We decided to create a page, create an account, and spread some education and awareness. And so far, I think we posted maybe 4 videos. And we're looking at 1,800 views already. So we are very thankful for that. And we are trying to reach a younger population that may be struggling with abuse or have been abused and they don't know where to turn. We want them to know that there is help available and that it is not their fault. It is not their fault what they went through. So we're trying to provide some hope. So follow us on TikTok. You can find links to all of our social media on our homepage, protectyourchildren.org. So we hope that you will do that. We want to thank you for sharing and tweeting and retweeting and liking and following. We have a nice group of passionate protectors out there that are doing a great job sharing posts and liking posts, and that helps boost our posts' visibility so we can protect more kids. So we thank you for that. Our mission is to protect children from molestation and kidnapping with the tools of education and awareness. We will accomplish this mission by providing free and not-for-profit, low-cost services to anyone who wants to protect children, regardless of race, creed, color, sex, religion, or politics. We will work as a team with other not-for-profit organizations to accomplish this mission. If you have a not-for-profit organization that you would like to make people aware of, let us know. We would like to highlight you on our weekly show. If you guys tuned in last week, we had BACA, the Bikers Against Child Abuse. Great interview, 45-minute interview with 2 members, Bootstrap and Mama Bear from the Erie Shores, Ohio chapter of Bikers Against Child Abuse. Fantastic interview. And if you haven't heard that, you can listen to the podcast, which is available on our website or also on this radio page. A lot of great information there. It looks like around 90 people have downloaded that podcast since last week. So we're grateful for that. And many, 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 many more have listened via Facebook. So we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for BACA for all the work that they do and for being on our show. And you can check out their website, BACA World, all one word, BACAWorld.org, and see what they're all about. We have the period of protection, the daily period of protection, which we started a few weeks ago. And this is 3 or 4 minute videos that are available every day on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. We've been putting them out in the morning. Not getting much visibility in the mornings, so we have changed that now. So they are being posted later in the day, more like in the evenings. So hopefully they will get more visibility. So be on the lookout for that. These are like little tiny 3 or 4 minute videos. I mean, you could be brushing your teeth and listen to this and learn some protection news and some protection awareness and education. So that's why we wanted to do that, make it quick and make it to the point. So we hope that you will check out the period of protection. They are also all listed on our YouTube account. There's a playlist there, period of protection, so you can get caught up on all those. So tonight we have a great show. We are going to talk about pornography. It is the new youth drug. And if you notice in the show title, it is hyphenated. Now we know that pornography is not spelled with a hyphen. But believe it or not, in order to promote the show on Facebook and other social media platforms, you cannot use the word pornography and youth in the same sentence. Yeah, I know. So, I mean, they're trying to protect kids. I get it. But unfortunately, and Twitter's the worst. Twitter does not even take time to look at what you're promoting, like check it out to see if it's for or against, you know, is it protecting kids, or they don't even take the time. We tried promoting a series of tweets on Twitter earlier this week, and it was, sorry, your tweet cannot be used. Sorry, your tweet cannot be used. No explanation, just it can't be used. So their algorithm apparently kicked it back. We're finding some pushback on Facebook with that too. It took us probably 4 or 5 times before we can get the Bikers Against Child Abuse podcast up there. And we had to basically not include the name of the podcast because Facebook was objecting to Bikers Against Child Abuse, apparently, because it had the words child abuse in it. So they are trying to protect kids, but in the process, they are censoring a lot of great organizations that are trying to protect children, okay? So that's why it's important for you to follow us so that you will get all the information that we have and you can keep your kids and other kids protected. And again, we thank you in advance for that. So we're going to talk about pornography, and it's time something got done. Too many kids on too many devices have wanted and unwanted access to porn, and it is preparing them to be abused by predators. This is the truth. Now, we want to look at tonight, who is responsible for that? Whose responsibility is it? Is it the parents? Is it the government? Is it the social media companies? Is it the internet providers, phone company? Who is to blame for the accessible pornography to our youth? We're going to discuss that in a little bit on the show tonight. If you want to call in, you have a comment or a question or something on this topic, you can do that. That number is 563-999-3645. 563-999-3645 is the number. What's that again? Oh, yeah, 563-999-3645. If you'd like to call in, we'll be taking your calls as well. So the period of protection, check that out. We also have posted some new videos. We are posting videos every week. Sometimes they're really small ones, sometimes a little bit longer. But if you're following us on YouTube and you have that bell notification on, hopefully you're being notified. And our YouTube is lacking. Facebook is up over 2,000 followers. Twitter is not doing bad. It's hanging in there about 400 or so. YouTube, 31 subscribers. That's the problem. That means not many people on YouTube are seeing the protection information and education. So if you have a YouTube channel, please subscribe, and the link can be found on our homepage, and share the link. Share the link. A lot of great information on there to keep kids safe and raise awareness. So that's going to be tonight's show. We're going to talk about pornography, or as the title says, pornography. That's for the algorithms. We want to tell you that we are a nonprofit. We are a nonprofit organization, and money is tight. Okay, there are very few donations coming in. We are in a process of securing grants, but do not have any at this time. So all the work that we are doing, we're talking about the producing and promoting of protection videos. We're talking about hosting the website and having that updated and maintained regularly. We're talking about this radio show. We're talking about the Talking with Topher segment series. Okay, there's many people that are doing that. There's a lot of things that cost money. And right now that is being funded by a few individuals, and we need your help. We know that everybody seems to be asking for money out there. Now, we will tell you, we do not sell products, we don't make any profit, and nobody in this organization is taking a salary. This is all volunteer, but we really want to protect kids, and we need your help. A little bit goes a long way. Just for an example, $100 will promote a video or a podcast on Facebook for about 4 or 5 days, and that garners exposure in the tens of thousands. That's just for $100. So if you can help out in any way, we certainly would appreciate that. ProtectYourChildren.org. Click on the donate tab. It is tax deductible. And yes, the tax deductible receipt will be sent to you along with the proper tax documents when the time comes. We want to thank you in advance for that as well. So tonight, we're going to have a rescued kids segment. You know, each week we usually highlight a missing child. And every 3 or 4 weeks, we like to take a breather and bring you some good news, because there are kids being rescued. Yes, there is. There are kids being found and kids being rescued. And that is in part because of people on social media and people sharing pictures of these missing kids, sharing information, calling the anonymous tip line with tips that they think may help on a particular case. The public is the key to finding these kids. And people are doing some great work out there. So we want to highlight tonight some rescued kids so that you may be encouraged and rejoice with us that these kids have been found. So let's check out our rescued kids segment. We'll be back in just about 2 minutes or so.
The FBI has found dozens of missing children in Los Angeles. It's all part of what's being called Operation Lost Angels. The operation involved the LAPD, the LA County Sheriff's Department, and 24 other local agencies. Of the 33 children found, 8 were being sexually exploited or trafficked. All were between the ages of 13 and 17. Now, the operation also resulted in the arrest of a suspected human trafficker. Multiple other investigations have been started as well. The FBI says rescuing the victims is just the first step in the recovery process.
So we absolutely take a victim approach to this, a victim services approach. We make sure that they're provided with basic needs, food, clothing, medical care, and even opportunities to get jobs and become functioning in society after their victimization.
The FBI says its caseload for both sex and labor traffic-related crimes have increased in recent years, and the agency is conducting more than 1,800 pending investigations.
Thanks for joining us on Chris 6 News at 10. Now, we have breaking news. Earlier today, Corpus Christi police were on the lookout for 3 missing children and a woman. Those children have been found just moments ago. Our Trevier Gonzalez is live from the Walmart where those kids were taken from. Trevier, what are police saying? What is the information that you have right now?
Javier, police are saying that, what, like you just said, these children have been found, and a lot has happened within the last half hour. Now, numerous officers were staged from here at this Walmart on Staples all the way to Weber, and that's because there were 3 missing children, and they were ages, one boy who was 2 years old, a little girl who was 2, and another little girl who was 4 years old. Now, the mother during this situation was sitting right over here at this Walmart, and her name was Maria Velasquez. And I was right there whenever I ended up seeing the good news right there with her. Now, according to Corpus Christi police, these children have been relocated to the main station, and there was a 19-year-old woman who was seen with these children. We don't know if there's any charges going to be pending with this, but I guess we could both say the most important thing to take from this is all 3 children are safe, Javier.
Yes, that is awesome. See, it makes a difference. You make a difference out there. Tips come in no matter how small you think it is. Maybe you think you might have saw a missing child, but you weren't exactly sure. Don't hesitate. It never hurts to make the call or drop that email to the tip line or call the tip line. It never hurts to do that, because you may be the one that makes the difference in breaking open a case and bringing a child home, or finding many, many kids, as we just heard. And did you hear the first story? He was saying that the amount of trafficking of kids has greatly increased just in the past few years. So this is a main concern, and we're going to look at in a future episode why that is the case. What is happening right now that there are so many missing kids? It is increasing. No, it's not just because we have social media and 24-hour news coverage, as everybody says. Oh, it's not really getting worse. We're just hearing about it more. No, it's getting worse. If we look at the stats, it's getting worse. More and more kids are missing, and more kids are being sold into the sex trafficking industry, and it's heartbreaking. And we have to look at how this is even happening. This has to be cut off at the root. These people shouldn't even have access to our children. And if they have access to our children, then the kids are either being duped into it when they're finding it online. We don't know, but we're going to look at all those causes in a future broadcast, and we're going to try to see what we can do to make an impact on that. Our hero kids tonight, we have two hero kids we want to highlight tonight. You say, why do you do a hero kids segment on a Protect Your Children broadcast? Well, here's why. Because many kids that lack self-confidence, lack self-esteem, lack feeling like they have a purpose, feeling like they can't make a difference, are more likely to be abused, more likely to be sex trafficked, and more likely to be subject to predators. That's true. That's a proven, okay, proven stat. Now, hero kids. When a child goes outside of themselves and makes a difference, makes an impact in their community or in their state, in the country, or even around the world, the euphoria that they get from that is better than any drug, better than any lie a predator could tell them, better than anything. And there are tons and tons of great kids out there who have come from difficult times in their childhoods, or living in a bad neighborhood. No matter what it is, there are tons of kids out there that are making a difference, and we like to highlight that each week. And if you have a child that's made a difference in some, you know, some impact in some way, please let us know. Drop us a tweet, send us a message on Facebook, okay, or even on TikTok. Yes, we went into the belly of the beast. We are on TikTok now, and that link can be found on our homepage, protectyourchildren.org. So you can follow us over there. But send us a message. We would like to highlight your child, or if you know of any child that has made an impact and helped out the community around them. If they've come from hard times and they've made it through, we like to highlight them for that. If they have just saw something that upset them and they said, I want to make a difference, and they went out and made a difference, we'd like to know about that too. We'd like to give them some recognition. So if you know anybody like that, please drop us a line. The chat room is open right now if you want to comment, ask questions, put smiley emojis, whatever you want to do in the chat room. It is open right now on the radio show page. And the call-in number is 563-999-3645. This is the Protect Your Children radio show with your host, Christopher Gelson. So we're looking at two hero kids tonight. The first one is Rachel Ritchie. Kind of a cool name, right? Rachel Ritchie. Several years ago, Rachel Ritchie was at her local playground, and she had noticed several children with disabilities watching from the sidelines. And this was because neither the space or the equipment was accessible to them. She said, I thought that wasn't fair because playing is something all kids should be able to do. And, well, she's now 13. So that day, Ritchie came home and told her parents that she wanted to create a playground that everyone, even the disabled, could use. So within 2 years, Rachel raised more than $100,000 for Rachel's Fund for Everyone project through community fundraising efforts that included t-shirt sales, car washes, spaghetti dinners, 5K runs, and more. A ribbon cutting for the new playground in Vine Grove, Kentucky, which has 13 different pieces of specialized play equipment, was slated to open in the summer of 2017. Say, yeah, but it's 2021. Listen, for years and years, there have been great kids not getting the recognition that they need for the great things that they do. So we will pull stories sometimes that are 5 years old and some that are just a year old. But here is she is, raises all this money, creates this playground, so even disabled kids can play. And Rachel, she was awarded the Barron Prize, which every year honors 25 kids for their service to others. But she brushes off the suggestion that what she's accomplished is extraordinary. She said, I'm not doing anything that special. I'm just trying to make a change to benefit my community. I want to do whatever I can to make other people's lives better. Is that humble? She just, that's it. No, it's not really that great. I was just, you know, trying to make other people's lives better. Amazing. Great job, Rachel Ritchie. We applaud you. And then, this goes back to 2008. Now we're going back further and further here. But these are great stories. In 2008, when Eric Lee was 7 years old, he watched the news with his parents about the magnitude 9.7 earthquake that devastated China. He said it was horrifying, and he is from Manvel, Texas. Tens of thousands had died or were injured. My family is from China, and we were quite worried about them. He and his two older sisters canvassed the neighborhood, hoping to raise money for the victims. Well, the first day, they only raised $84. Did they give up? No, they didn't give up. Inspired by their success, they approached local businesses, and within a few months, they had raised more than $6,000. Lee says, we didn't think we could do so much. Wow. So Lee and his sisters sent $4,500 to the Red Cross and then delivered the remaining $1,500 in person to five high school students who had lost their homes. Lee, who's now 16 years old, remains heavily involved in his nonprofit. He started a nonprofit called WeCareAct.org, WeCareAct.org, which continues to raise money for survivors of natural disasters, including the Japanese tsunami and Hurricane Ike. Lee says he's inspired by his parents, who he notes would always give money to somebody in need. Wow. So he sees devastation, sees the need, and decides to help out. These are hero kids. These are hero kids. And these are what every parent aspires their children to be. They want them to be hero kids. So once again, heroes. We take a minute to applaud the heroes. Fantastic job. Fantastic job. Inspires us, and we hope that it inspires you. So our news segment tonight, do parents really know how many teens watch online porn? Do parents really know how many teens watch online porn? This is an article dated October 26, 2020 from HartfordHealthcare.org, HartfordHealthcare.org. It says, during this unique time of hybrid or remote learning and juggling working from home during COVID-19, it seems that there couldn't possibly be anything more to add to the list of parents' worries. But with an increase in screen time, parents need to be aware of their teens' possible pornography exposure. You ready for this? Recent studies indicate 90% of teens have viewed porn online, and 10% admit to daily use of pornography. 90% of teens have viewed porn online, and 10% admit to daily use. This is partly due to increased smartphone usage among children and adolescents, with elementary age smartphone ownership rising to over 50% in recent years. Elementary kids with smartphones, without parental controls on them, and they're able to access pornography. And we know this is true. We know of a case of a 10-year-old who was at school, and a kid ran up to him, another 9 or 10-year-old, at the end of the day and said, hey, when you get home, check out Pornhub.com. So how did a 9-year-old come across a porn site like that? So you know what? Smartphones without parental controls. You got 8, 9, 10-year-old kids looking at pornography. And as a study shows, 90% of teens have viewed porn online. 10% are looking at it every day. The article goes on to say the internet has made pornography exposure much more common among kids and teens by making it available and affordable. Yeah, affordable. You know how many websites out there where it's free? You know, when I was a kid, of course I was a kid, you know, and me and my friends, we would hear about these sites. We want to go look at something like that. Okay, let's just be real here, right? Let's be transparent. And the only sites we would ever find, we couldn't see anything because you had to put a credit card in there, right? They made sure that you were 18 or older before you can view it. Well, that has certainly changed, hasn't it? Because now there are hundreds and there's thousands of sites out there. No credit card required. All they got to do is type in a few choice words and your kids are being enticed and pulled in to the disgusting world of pornography. A little later in the show, we're going to discuss that, discuss about regulation, whose responsibility it is to make sure that kids aren't finding it. So elementary age smartphone ownership has risen to over 50% in recent years. The article goes on to say the internet has made pornography exposure much more common among kids and teens by making it available and affordable, said Dr. Paul Weigel, Associate Medical Director of Ambulatory Services, and he's part of Hartford Healthcare. He said people often underestimate how heavily trafficked these websites are. Now check this out. The top porn site, Pornhub, is the third biggest bandwidth-consuming company behind Google and Netflix. Let me say that again. Pornhub is the third biggest bandwidth-consuming company behind Google and Netflix. Pornhub has more daily visits than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. Now, is there something wrong with our society and our world when posts about protecting kids from predators and molesters gets viewed, let's say 1,000 times, and an article or a story about a little dog who finds his way home gets seen by millions? But pornography is outpacing all of it. Think about that for a second. Research demonstrates that parents are, for the most part, unaware of their children's porn usage, with half of parents unaware their teens had seen pornography and teens having seen up to 10 times more pornography than their parents believe. 10 times more. Parents especially underestimated their teens' exposure to extreme content, such as violent porn, which is just as easy to access as traditional pornography content. Do you think this is affecting the mind of your child? Affecting the culture? Affecting the way kids view sex? Affecting the way kids talk about it and how often they engage in it? We had a podcast a few weeks back, and those numbers will just blow your mind about how many kids are now engaging in sexual activity. It corresponds with the increase in pornography usage. So Dr. Weigel, I'm sorry, it's just funny, Dr. Weigel, he says, in a way, porn has become the biggest source of sex education for a lot of young people. Oh, great. Which is concerning because they often can't tell what's real and what's entertainment. Evidence also shows that viewing porn can affect attitudes toward gender roles and impact sexual behaviors. Imagine that. For example, porn exposure makes it much more likely for teens to engage in risky sexual behaviors, such as sex without a condom, sex outside. time of a relationship or sexting. Violent porn exposure has been shown to increase the likelihood of perpetrating sexual assault in males and suffering victimization in females. But the overall rate of teen sexual assault in the United States has remained constant. Porn exposure over time can lead to an increase in sexual dysfunction and a decrease in relationship satisfaction, you think? However, the studies also show that parental discussion with their teens about porn and safe sex greatly mitigates these risks, said Dr. Weigel. So he suggests keeping screens in public areas of the home where they can be easily monitored. That's pretty hard when it's on their phones, and the phones go in the bathroom, and the phones go in the room, and the phones go on the bus, and the phones go to the bus stop, and the phones go to the friend's house. Kind of hard to keep that in public view. Using parental controls to filter websites that are visited, that's key. And setting rules for screen usage, such as no screens in the bathrooms, bedrooms, or behind closed doors. Some great advice from Dr. Weigel. Parents, it's a big issue. When we come back from the bottom of the hour break, we're going to have Talking with Topher, episode 17. Topher went to the state fair, and he ran into some friends there, and some trouble came knocking. What happened with Topher? 10-year-old Topher, Talking with Topher, coming up after the break. And then we're going to look at who is responsible for protecting our children's safety on the internet. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break to listen to the Protect Your Children radio show with your host, Christopher Gellison, website protectyourchildren.org. And the call-in number, 563-999-3645. We are taking your calls. We will be right back after this break.
Imagine the world as a bully-free place where kids could be themselves without all the judgment, where students wouldn't laugh at each other, and kids would stop being bystanders and stick up for one another, where cyberbullying isn't a thing. Imagine a world where there was a change, where kids can feel accepted, and where bullying wasn't a thing. Stop bullying and be the change you want to see in the world.
We do everything we can to protect our kids. When 1 in 9,800 children drown and 1 in 360 suffer a bike injury, it's only natural to do what we can to prevent anything bad from happening. But did you know that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys is sexually abused before the age of 18? Like wearing a helmet, prevention through education is the most important thing we can do to protect our children.
Back. Thank you for staying with us for that break. This is the Protect Your Children radio show with your host, Christopher Gelson, the director and the teacher of Protect Your Children Incorporated. Please share this broadcast. We need you to share the broadcast so that parents and kids can be protected. Like we saw before in the rescue segment, tips can lead to kids being found And your little tips that you put out there on social media will lead to kids being protected. And we thank you in advance for doing that. All right, talking with Topher. Yes, the animated 10-year-old Topher went to the state fair and ran into some kids. Let's find out what happened when Topher went to the fair. And then we're going to discuss who is responsible for protecting our children's safety on the internet. Here's Topher. Wow, Topher, that roller coaster was awesome.
Wow, I felt my stomach drop like 7 times. I really wanted to go on the zipper. I can't believe I was 2 inches too short.
I know, it's annoying, but it is for some safety reasons. I'm still going to try to win you that huge stuffed animal dog that looks like Mort.
So, think you can really run it?
Well, I'm pretty good at shooting the water at the bullseye to pop the balloon, so I should be able to do it.
Whoa, wow, wow!
I can't believe your mom and your dad came too. They are having fun, for sure.
Well, they haven't been on the boat in a long, long time.
Well, we'll leave them alone so they can have fun.
Oh, how I saw those kids there that were at the brook behind my house.
Yeah, I know it. I mean, a lot of kids are going to be here, so maybe you'll end up seeing them again.
I hope not. That was so terrible.
Ah, it won't be a problem because I am here. They won't say anything to you. At least, I don't think so. So what are we going to go on next? The big yellow slide?
Yeah, I love that slide.
Okay. Hey, but the bathroom is right over there. I have to go because of all that soda.
Okay.
Topher, do you have to use the bathroom?
No.
Okay, you wait right here by the door until I come out. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, I won't. I'll be right here.
Now, it looks like there's a small line, but it shouldn't be more than a couple of minutes. I'll be back.
Okay.
Hey, Topher.
Oh, Tommy. Wow, you're all there, too. I've been feeling really kids from school.
Me, too. Even one of the mean ones. Who are you here with?
My mom and dad are walking around, and my mentor, Chris, is here, too, but who's in the bathroom? Is your mom here?
Yes. She had to use the bathroom, too.
Oh, Tommy, I'm sorry you got in trouble when I told my mom about the gals you were talking to on sick time. I was just really worried about you because you are my friends.
It's okay, Topher. I was mad at first, but then I realized one of those strangers could have abused me or kidnapped me and that you were trying to help. Thank you for being a good friend.
We're friends again.
Uh-oh. Topher, look. It's one of those bad teenagers from the book you told me about.
Oh, no. This group is terrible.
Hey, look. It's Lil Topher and Lil Tom.
Hey, John.
Topher, can you and me talk for a minute? I want to show you something on my phone.
No, whoa. The last time it was boring, and I don't want to school it again. You are only 13. Why are you looking at that stuff everywhere?
Hey, remember, you kinda liked it last time. Don't you want to see more? We got to hurry before my mom gets back over here.
I said no, and no means no, John.
Tommy can come too if he wants. Ew, no way. I don't want to see that either. Listen, Topher, you're going to come with me for a minute right now. Hey, wait a minute, John. Topher and I are friends. We are not looking at that stuff. Now you better leave me and Topher alone, or you're going to be in big trouble.
Well, you better leave us alone, or I will tell my mom, and she will call their mom and tell her that you are full of mood and trying to get Lou and Tommy to look at porn.
Fine, you both are wussies, but I'll leave you alone. Wow, I don't like John at all. I wonder why he's so bad.
Well, no wonder. I don't know why he was trying to get a couple of 10-year-olds to look at porn, but that's not good.
I wonder who first showed it to him.
I don't know, but my mentor says that teenagers and adults, if they want to do sexual stuff with younger kids, they will show them porn and get them thinking about it first.
That's freaking twisted.
I know. Oh, here comes my mentor out of the bathroom.
Okay. I see my mom too.
Okay, Tommy. Bye-bye.
Wow, Topher, there was a line in there. Sorry it took longer than I thought. Who was that kid walking away from you?
Something cool happened when we were in the bathroom, Chris.
Really? What happened?
Well, remember Tommy? The one that was talking to strangers on TikTok? And I was brave enough to tell my mom so she could talk to his mom?
Yeah, I do remember him.
Well, he just came over and said hi to me. I apologized to him, and he said it was not a problem, and that he was happy because I worried about him like a real friend does. And now we are friends again.
That's awesome. See, I told you it would work out in the end. You just had to be brave and do the right thing to protect someone that you cared about.
That wasn't it, though. One of the teenagers from the brook named John? Remember that villa behind my house? The one that showed me porn? Well, he came up to me and Tommy and tried to get me and then me and him to look at porn again on his phone.
Dang, Topher, so what happened?
Well, I told him, no means no. And then he tried to bully me into watching it, and then Tommy stood up to him and told him to leave me alone because I was his friend. Then I told him, if he didn't leave, I would kill my mom, and she would call his mom. Then he called me and Tommy Whistle, but then he left.
Wow, that is so crazy, Topher. Hey, you did the right thing. And who would think that at this time that you start talking to Tommy again, John would try that evil with you again?
I know it. Someone is watching out for me.
Yes, no doubt someone is, Topher. Okay, let's go on that big slide.
Yo, whoa, whoa, let's go.
That was riveting, but you see how it all came back around. Way back in Topher's journey, he found out that his friend Tommy was talking to some strangers on TikTok, and that he was actually going to go meet one of these people at a park, and he thought it was a kid, but it turned out it was an adult, and Topher was brave enough to tell his mom, who contacted Tommy's mom. Tommy was protected, and Tommy got mad at first and didn't like Topher for a little while, but then look at this. Now he realizes what he did was to protect him, and Tommy was very thankful for that. So kids, it takes bravery, it takes courage, and it may be hard to stand up, but if you really care about somebody, you want to protect them, you've got to be brave and talk to your parents. And it'll all work out in the end, but you have to be brave and give it a shot. All right, so topic tonight, should social apps and internet providers be held partially responsible for sexual contact being content being available to minors and minors having sexual contacts by predators? Should they be held partially responsible? That is the ultimate question. Who is responsible for protecting our children's safety on the internet? We'd like to hear your thoughts on this. You can call in at 563-999-3645, or you can jump in the chat room and give us your thoughts as well. So, yes, who is responsible for protecting our children's safety on the internet? It's a question nearly every parent in this country asks daily. And some will say it's the responsibility of the social media companies. The social media companies say it's the responsibility of the parents. And I think that although both have a degree of responsibility, ultimately the responsibility rests with the government. Now hold on, that doesn't mean the government should be fully responsible. So we can blame social media companies for all the internet wrongdoings, and that might be very convenient, but it's partially incorrect. The reason why it's partially incorrect is because placing the blame on them solely allows our government to forfeit its responsibility to protect us and to prevent harm from coming to our children. So there are certain responsibilities that a government cannot simply delegate to third parties. Certainly not to third parties whose commercial interest contradicts the interest of the people whose government's duty is ultimately to protect. To understand the sense of vulnerability that an increasing number of people are starting to feel about internet safety, we should look back at the government's action, or more accurately, inaction, over a period of nearly 25 years. So who's at fault? What's your first thoughts? Is it social media companies? Is it the internet providers? Is it the parents? Or is it the government? Why are 90% of teens looking at porn and 10% are addicted to it daily? And the number is probably higher because of the reporting. So let's look at a brief history on internet policing. So this year, the internet is celebrating its 30th birthday. That's three decades that can broadly be broken down into three time periods. First, let's look at the internet policing in the first 10 years. So in the first 10 years or so, there was hardly any government involvement with the way the internet was being policed. The internet in the early days was considered almost an anarchist place where people could do or say anything. Kind of like that right now. There was a thriving for images of extreme nature and for all sorts of other stuff that exchange that in the offline sphere would put one away for a very long time. Talking about child pornography here. There was a sense of lawlessness everywhere. The government was quite happy to let things stay that way. It kept the bad guys, the academics, the geeks, and the crypto-obsessed to socialize each with its own group. And there was very little interaction between the groups. Those days, there was a real sense of community, or perhaps communities, because each community was minding its own business, not interfering with other internet communities' activities. Now, that's kind of how it started out in the first 10 years or so, kind of a free-for-all. Now, if we look at internet policing in the next 10 years, you'll see that the second phase of the internet came, and the 10 that followed were characterized by corporate takeovers. This is when they realized, hey, we can make a lot of money. The government still didn't think the World Wide Web required any form of regulation, within just a few exceptions, of course. And as the internet was effectively taken over by corporations, the regulation-free zone enabled giants such as Google and Facebook to grow super fast. To keep the government away from their businesses, those soon to become giants developed a concept of self-regulation. There's our first problem, self-regulation. So as long as the government kept away from the internet, then the internet companies were able to grow to monstrous sizes and in some cases become bigger and richer than some governments. They could pretty much do whatever they wanted, unregulated and unchecked. In fact, there is some legislation out there. It's Article 230, which actually protects social media companies from being sued. Imagine that. Now, the problem, of course, was that self-regulation placed internet companies in conflict with their duty to their hungry shareholders. So despite giving assurances, internet companies didn't really regulate the internet in any meaningful way. Instead, they did what any corporate body must do, which, of course, is to make itself as profitable as possible, within the law, of course. It's always about the money, right? It's always about the money. So is it the government's responsibility? Do they have any role in protecting our children from what they're seeing every single day? See, I remember a time when, believe it or not, in the 80s and 90s, early 90s, when TV programs wouldn't even allow a curse word on prime time. Anything of a sexual nature, any sexual innuendo was not allowed. Any kind of kids doing anything that would be perceived as provocative was not allowed. And now you look at how it is. They come up with these guidelines, if you will, PG-13. PG-13 now says, PG-13 contains nudity and vile language. Yes, that's okay for a 13-year-old. Sure. Nudity when they're 13 and they're hitting stages of puberty, when their hormones are running the most. Yeah, let's show them nudity at that age because, you know, that's okay according to the government. So the internet policing today. You fast forward 4 or 5 years, and here we are today. Finally, the government has woken up to the realization that the World Wide Web is, in fact, not a name for a different planet, but rather part of the same world we are all living in and helps to shape the culture and the mind of the people. And in this world, there are citizens and governments and taxes and police and, yes, accountability. Only recently has the government began to accept that the internet is about real people, hello, and that is every government's duty to protect its people. Policing the internet cannot be delegated to stakeholders, nope, in the same way that the policing of our streets cannot be placed at the hands of street gangs. Yeah, it's not going to work that way. So is it the government's responsibility to protect internet users? Now, some people will say, no, well, you know, we don't want the government getting involved because they could censor certain things and they could affect profits and all these other constitutional issues of free enterprise and all this other stuff. But we think there has to be some part that the government plays. Because right now, for porn sites to be available for free with no age verification and posted out there for kids to find, and there's no regulation, kids can find how to make bombs, they can find plans to make guns, they can watch documentaries about school shooters shooting up schools and get ideas in their head. They can watch videos that promote suicide, illicit drug use and sex. And all that's available under free speech, which, yes, you have to have free speech, as vile as it is in some cases. So while it's fair to criticize Facebook and other social media companies for the neglect and contempt that they have so far shown in regard to protecting the safety and well-being of their underage users, it is also, to be fair, to say that our politicians have been letting us down for far too long. After all, it must be their responsibility to ensure that the also powerful giants who already control so many aspects of our lives aren't also made to be the sole custodians of our safety and well-being, especially for children. Now, having left us to fend for ourselves out here in the internet jungle, the government cannot be too surprised that massacres and other atrocities are now being broadcasted live on Facebook. Some of the horrific acts which had been committed by ISIS and other mass murderers, white supremacists and otherwise, other people would have not been committed if it wasn't for the perpetrator's ability and freedom to shock us live in real time. Social media companies must take some responsibility, but ultimately it is the duty of the government to make laws that will protect us. We shouldn't be surprised that pornography and other adult content is made available to minors on social media and the internet in general. Should we really be surprised? So let's remember that the people who are responsible for the well-being and for our safety and security are not solely the employees of Facebook or Google, TikTok or Snapchat. The ones responsible are the people we elected to protect us, members of the government whom we entrusted our safety. And we must be careful to not allow them to delegate their responsibilities to technology companies as well as the parents and guardians of minor children. So what we're seeing here is that the government does have a role, but it's not solely up to them. Parents, you have a huge role in knowing what your kids are looking at, what they're viewing, what they're consuming, and to look at how it's affecting their minds, their hearts, and ultimately their souls. That means you got to be nosy. We say that often, got to be nosy. You got to know what they're looking at on their computers and their game systems and their phones. You have to monitor those things. And the question is, where are the parents? Why do they not take more responsibility for protecting their children online? That's a great question. How can 90% of kids, teenagers, be viewing pornography and their parents have no idea? How can 10% be looking at it every single day and their parents and guardians and other passionate protectors in their life have no idea? Excuse me. How is that possible? Because they're not involved. We can't just say it's the government's responsibility by itself, but they do have a role. We can't say it's just the social media companies, though they do have a role. As we've noted before, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, Zoom, all these social media apps that these kids are using, none of them verify age or identity. All of them allow duplicate accounts. So you have adults posing as kids. You have kids trying to be adults, which has its own set of problems. You have content that should be for 18 or older being sent to a 12-year-old because they create a profile saying that they're 19. Parents don't know. So it's often asked, how much of a responsibility do we as internet users have to police the internet ourselves and decide whether we're going to watch certain images or share horror films of live events? After all, the more we share, the more we encourage others to commit social media atrocities. Got to think about that. It's a very interesting question. It's easy to blame us, the people, for our part in watching and sharing horrific images via social media. At the same time, people should not be judged too harshly in this regard because, after all, we are only human. When we see something that is shocking, something that horrifies us, we want to share our experience with others. Seems to be the most normal thing to do. Often because it's too difficult for us to deal with, but also because we tend to seek validation as to our own moral values. We want to share our experience with other people and say, hey, have you seen this? Have you seen that? So in conclusion, we say all parties need to work together to protect our children from adult sexual content, as well as other items like how to take drugs or make bombs. That can also be found easily through a smartphone, computer, or gaming system. Parents, the government, and the social media companies all have a responsibility. The government's getting involved in social media now, but they're censoring one particular side, half of America basically, but they're not doing much to curb some of the atrocities that are being shown on social media. We can't wait for them to do something. If we think sending an email is going to stop it on social media, that's wrong too. So parents, it's up to you. Monitor what your kids are watching and know that they could be part of the 90% that's looking at pornography and the 10% that are looking at it every single day. We have to protect our children. And parents, you're on the front lines, getting your kids' phones, look on the web browsers on the find out what's going on, and talk to them about the dangers of pornography. We thank you for listening to the show. Until next week, stay vigilant, stay safe, and keep protecting. Mm-hmm.